Let's pray. Father God, we indeed realize you are here. You tell us you inhabit the praises of your people, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you're always near to us. And we thank you again for that. And Lord, just give us grateful, thankful hearts in this Thanksgiving season. Help us to appreciate our many blessings. And just be with us here this morning. Help us to find application in your word for our lives. And help us to be living your word, Lord, not just talking about it, not just learning it, but living it. And we pray for this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We will attempt to finish the book of Philippians this morning. We'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 6 through 22. And verse 6 tells us to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be overly concerned about anything. That's a pretty large statement, isn't it? That's an all-encompassing statement. We're told in God's word not to let anything trouble us. And how contrary that is to the way we want to fret, the way we want to worry about all things. But Paul, he doesn't leave us hanging there with an impossible command. My fleshly heart and mind can, well, it can run amok on every issue that I face. And then we want to read that verse, be anxious only for the major things. And aren't you glad Scripture doesn't read that way? Because, you know, we could turn each and every event into a major thing within just a few moments. You know, it could go from molehill to mountain real quick. We have that capacity. And our minds can dwell upon the what-if scenarios. Therefore, Scripture explicitly tells us, well, let's read what it says. Verse 6 through 9, chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Be anxious for nothing. And then there's a but. And that but indicates a change. There should be a change in our thought pattern. There should be a change in our obedience to the Scriptures there. Instead of worrying and fretting and being troubled, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. God is telling us in this verse, let your requests be known in prayer. Don't be whining. Don't be complaining. Don't be griping. Be praying. And don't be blogging on the internet about your, you know, the things that trouble you. That's a high-tech way to complain. But be in prayer. And be praying with supplication and thanksgiving. How appropriate that here we're celebrating our church Thanksgiving dinner today. And we will be talking about prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Supplication, now all that really means is to entreat or to ask God for his favor or his blessing upon your life. God wants us, his children, asking for his blessings upon our hearts and upon our minds. And we want those. We need those. I personally am not big on counseling, because that's basically what I do every Sunday morning up here, counsel. And I'm not big on Christian psychologists. You heard it? I said it. Why pay some doctor to lie on his couch and talk about what troubles me? And have him tell me it's because of my childhood or my relationship with my mother. You know, okay. When God's Spirit tells me, hey, Don, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you talk to me about what concerns you, about what makes you anxious? Because our God can do something about our worries and concerns. God promises us peace if we will simply pray. And then Paul tells us how to pray. With thanksgiving. Having a thankful heart and then verbalizing it towards our gracious God. In Colossians 2:7, we're to be rooted, built up in Jesus, established in faith, abounding in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's to be an established part of our thoughts, prayers, and conversation. And not just this time of year. How many of you find it offensive? I find the term Turkey Day instead of Thanksgiving to be very offensive. It just bugs me, you know. Have a happy Turkey Day, and I want to strangle them right there. Thanksgiving happens to be one of my favorite holidays. No hoopla of buying gifts, no fighting the crowds at the malls. It's simply appreciating God and his goodness and his provisions. Plus, Thanksgiving is a reminder for us to be grateful to God for our provisions. And today we're going to do that. We're going to have our Thanksgiving celebration meal, and I'll take it personal if you don't stay around and eat with us. And we'll have good Christian fellowship. It's good for us Christians to have fellowship with one another. And I'm thankful for this. And then Paul moves on to verses 8 and 9. And he continues his letter and he gives us some good advice as how to maintain the peace of God which guards our heart. And he says, you're to control what you think about. And you're to control what you meditate upon. God in his wisdom tells us how to maintain his peace that he will give us if we pray. And he says, be thinking about, be meditating upon truth, nobility, justice, purity, lovely things, good report, virtue, or anything praiseworthy. And Paul has listed seven praiseworthy things that are to occupy our thinking. And I'm not going to try to preach on each one, and for some of you, you sigh a breath of relief, so that's all right. But all the things listed are positive, and all of them relate to truth. And truth and everlasting life are intermingled. In the Jewish mind, in the Jewish way of thinking, and the rabbis taught this, everlasting life, eternal life, was not just heaven or the hereafter, but it was a better way of living day to day. It was living the higher road. So at this Thanksgiving time of year, let us purpose in our hearts to meditate upon truth or other praiseworthy attitudes and how they relate to truth. You know, truth can be negative also. We have crime, and that's the truth. There is abuse, there is violence, there is tragedy, and these are all truth. The evening news is full of these kind of negative stories. The daily newspaper reports about all the perversion in our local area, plus worldwide disasters, like the fires in California right now. And you know, it's not like we need to be reminded to think negative thoughts. Some of us don't have to go beyond our immediate family to realize there are people we know that are very dear to us who are simply totally negative all the time. Take a moment and don't shout out now. We don't want to embarrass anybody. I want you to think of the most negative person you know. I don't even have to go outside of my family to do that. And we're going to air a little dirty laundry here this morning. I have a brother. He never listens to my CDs, so we don't have to worry about him. And he doesn't know any of you, so I can talk about it. But he's a poor example of negative thinking. He is perhaps the most negative person I know. And he's got a negative reputation throughout the family. It's not just me. The whole family knows him. And he lives a miserable, lonely life where everything is bah humbug and doom and gloom surrounding. Now, he's always had this tendency to gravitate towards the negative. Always. I've known him all my life. My older brother. And if we're not careful, negative things can creep in and begin to occupy our minds. And that's what Paul wants to give us a little lesson on mental health here. My brother struggles with taxes. How unfair taxes are. All politicians are crooks. Traffic is ridiculous. The weather is either too hot, too cold, too dry, too wet. Inflation is eating up his savings, his finances. Higher food costs are making him eat out less. Gasoline cost is out of control, which goes back to the money-grabbing politicians. And how the one world conspiracy are having their way at the expense of the little man. Maybe you've heard some of these complaints yourself. The end result, though, is tragic. My own brother is not just unhappy. He's bitter at everything and everybody. And he rants and raves to the extent that no one in the family can endure him for more than a few moments at a time. My brother was raised in a Christian home. He's a good moral man in many ways. However, he lives a miserable, lonely life because of what he thinks upon and what he meditates upon. My brother knows the scriptures. He knows the Bible. But he has difficulty being obedient to Scripture. Scripture doesn't find application in his life. And he refuses to pray to God for God's peace. No longer can he think or meditate upon lovely things that are true. Nothing praiseworthy comes out of his mouth. And he lives a life of extreme loneliness and bitterness. And all I have left to do for him as his brother is to pray for him. That's all I can do for him. And I do pray for him. So why air out this about my brother? He's the prime example of a man who refuses to be thankful in his heart. He refuses to be thankful, and now he's old, bitter, to say the least. He's dedicated to thinking of things that are not praiseworthy, and it's had its toll upon his life. So Paul is able to say to us in verse 9, the things which you have learned and received, and that's God's peace by praying for it and meditating upon truthful things, praiseworthy things, you have seen me exhibit them in my life. Paul says, don't just take my word for it. You can look at my life. I do this. Paul would have praise-a-thons in prison. You know, Paul never let circumstance dictate to his attitude of praise and thanksgiving. We're to find application for God's counsel to us in these verses. A pet peeve of mine is we are quick as a people, as a nation, to ask God for his blessing. I desire God's blessing. You desire him. And we're bombarded with these slogans, God bless America. And we can look upon God's word, however, with a casualness. It is alarming. Many Christians approach God's command as if they are optional. The benefit of obedience to the Scripture is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a great benefit. Are you troubled? Obey Scripture. Pray with supplication and thanksgiving. And the peace of God will flood your heart. God's peace surpasses all understanding, all rationale of a human being. Understand this. We do not have to live an anxious life as a Christian. We do not have to do that. You know, troubles and difficulties, they come into every life. And Jesus told us, he said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. And we don't have to fret and worry about every issue that confronts us. From making the high school marching band to hearing the doctor say, we're going to have to take some more tests, the results are looking bad. We don't have to fret about those. The Apostle Paul found it necessary in his own life to pray for God's peace. He said, pray for it. Paul had to meditate upon truthful, praiseworthy things, and so do you and I. And it's not a positive mind-controlled thing. It's just good mental health. And Paul closes this letter with another note of thanksgiving. So we'll look at verses 10 through 23. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, You sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I should seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul says, I rejoice that you Philippians cared for me. And several times in this book of Philippians, Paul must express his thanks to them. Hopefully none of us do our good deeds for a big thank you. But it's sure nice to hear it, isn't it? I love to hear my grandchildren say, thanks, Papa. You know, that makes whatever you did for them worthwhile. They're grateful for it. And concerning Paul's personal needs, he says, I've learned to be content with much or with little. Giving thanks, being grateful, has a beautiful effect in Paul's life, and it has a beautiful effect in your life and mine. It brings about contentment. Our financial lending institutions, as you know, have been bailed out by our government because people default on their payments. People will sign mortgage notes on the hope of salary increases or property values evaluating. Why? Because they're not content to live within their means. We can be wealthy and be discontented. We can be dirt poor and be discontented. God's peace and contentment is not dependent upon our circumstances or our finances. And that's good for us to know. Paul, he then throws out one of his quotable verses. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard of this verse, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's take that in context. Paul is speaking of God's peace, and he's talking about what we're to be meditating upon or thinking about. That's what Paul is talking about here. Now, no matter how bad I want to lead worship and play a guitar, I can't. All right? I cannot do that. And if you sat near me during worship service, you would say amen to that. I can't do that. So Paul isn't talking about you can just do any little fantasy in your mind that would come upon you. Take it in context. He's talking about having God's peace, being content, and meditating upon the right kind of things. You can do this. God hasn't given us a command that is beyond our capability of doing. So I can pray and flourish in God's peace. I can do that. I can learn to be content in all things because God told me he would help me to do that. Do you ever think about what a great gift prayer is? We have prayer. We're allowed to talk to God, the God of this universe, about whatever troubles us. In fact, God encourages us to come to him in prayer. About what? About all things. I have a tendency to not to want to trouble God about trivial things. And he says, no, you come to me in everything that concerns you. I will give you a happy and contented heart. And we are to approach God with prayer and thanksgiving. And then verse 19, God promises to supply all our needs where we can make it through one more day. And I would buy for that. I would go in for that, wouldn't you? God, you just help me get through one more day and I'll come to you tomorrow. And the Lord's Prayer kind of emphasizes that. But that isn't what God says. He says, if you will come to me in prayer, I will meet your needs according to my resources. My resources. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. And one of those riches is eternal life. Meditate on that for a moment. You want to meditate upon something? Meditate upon eternal life for a moment. But for the here and now, we can have his peace, which surpasses all human understanding. And Paul closes this letter by thanking the Philippian church for supporting him. The saints in Caesar's household greet and thanks the Philippian church. Paul, while chained to a Roman guard, has shared the gospel there at Caesar's household. Many get saved, and now they're sending their greetings back to the Philippians. And thus we end chapter 4, and Paul is directed by the Holy Spirit, and he gives us a receipt for peaceful Christian contentment and mental health. And that recipe for that is through prayer and thanksgiving. It's that simple. And then meditate upon praiseworthy things. Don't make the Christian life, the Christian walk, over complicated, because it isn't. In everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your needs be made known to God, and he will give us his peace. And I'm glad he calls it his peace, because the world's peace is so temporary. And it usually hinges upon some coveted item. And so this morning, we're going to have a meal here in a few moments. Our Thanksgiving meal. And I marvel at the Lord's timing that we would be in Philippians chapter 4, where we're told to pray with thanksgiving. And here this morning, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving. Our Lord's timing is perfect. So, if I can get you to stand and agree with me in prayer, we will ask God to supply all our needs with thanksgiving. Father God, I pray for a heart that is grateful. Lord, I don't want to assume upon your blessing. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to bring all things to you, Lord. You tell us to do that. And so, we approach you, Lord, through prayer that you've given us. You've encouraged us to pray and ask for our needs to be met. You've encouraged us to come before you with troubled hearts, and you will give us peace. And Lord, everyone here is troubled about different things. It may be small troubles. It may be giant troubles. But we're all troubled. And let us turn to you, Lord, the God of peace. And you said you will supply our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We ask you to do that. But Lord, we want to be grateful and thankful, not just in words, but in heart. So help us to have a heart that reaches out to our Lord and our God for your many blessings. We pray for this, Lord. Be with us the remainder of our time together here this morning. May our fellowship with one another, may it be sweet, may it be positive, may it be praiseworthy, Lord. And we thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for this season that's set aside to be thankful. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.